First Five Santa Clara County, supporting the healthy development of children prenatal through age 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Welcome to Ask the Experts. This podcast is brought to you by First Five Santa Clara County, providing you with valuable information directly from the experts who provide support for the healthy development of children and families. Dyslexia is an information processing disability that is much broader than simply confusing or transporting letters and numbers. Research shows that most people with dyslexia have normal to above average intelligence. Yet, dyslexia occurs when there is a problem in the area of the brain that interprets language. What is true dyslexia? How is it diagnosed? And what do we need to understand about the impact it has on our children? Dr. Dan Peters is co-founder and clinical director of the Summit Center that specializes in the assessment and treatment of children in the areas of learning, processing, emotional, behavioral, and developmental issues, along with giftedness. He is with us to discuss dyslexia, the misperceptions, the cause, early detection, and ways to cope. Dr. Peters, what is dyslexia?
Dyslexia is a specific learning disability that impacts reading, writing, and spelling. It's thought to reside in the phonological part of the brain. It's considered to have neurobiological origin. You're born with dyslexia. You don't acquire it. It's how your brain's wired. And as such, people who have dyslexia have challenges learning to read, decoding symbols, both in numbers and letters. They have challenges with sight words. They have challenge reading simple words. They have challenges with spelling. They have challenges with writing. They have a host of challenges which go on beyond that I'll get into. But where a lot of people, the debate has been is whether it resides in the visual processing system of the brain or the phonological processing system.
Are there vision issues connected with dyslexia?
There are a subset of kids with dyslexia who have visual tracking issues where they do have a challenge in their visual perceptual system, which makes it challenging for them to read. So what we find is when you talk to a developmental optometrist, the ones who actually can look at your visual tracking and your visual perceptual abilities, they will tell you that if you're having visual perceptual issues and visual tracking issues, it will impact your ability to read, to pay attention, your motivation, your stamina, and a whole host of other life issues. So developmental optometrists don't say that that is the cause of dyslexia, but that it does impact reading. So when you have a child who may be dyslexic and or is diagnosed with dyslexia, they could also have a visual perceptual issue, and this is not acuity. So what your kids usually get at the doctor's office is whether they have 20/20 vision or 20/15 or 20/40. A lot of kids have good acuity but have visual tracking issues that, when uncovered, really provides a lot of cues to their challenges with reading.
We know that early intervention is really important. What are some of the early signs of dyslexia?
In young kids, we see them having trouble with rhyming. We see them having trouble finding their words, and they say things like whatchamacallits because they can't find the word they're trying to say. They might not be able to identify letters. They have trouble spelling their own name even after they've been taught it several times. And they also have trouble with writing numbers, remembering the sequence of letters and numbers. They have challenges saying the alphabet without the song. Another early sign of dyslexia, and one that often persists, is challenges with directionality. A child has trouble learning right or left. They also might have challenges remembering rote information that you would expect them to know, like birthdays, days of the week, months, as well as how to spell their own name, even if it's a simple name. And what we find with kids with dyslexia is there are these rote memory and sequencing issues which prevent them from doing things we would expect them to be doing at their age.
So many people think that dyslexia is when people flip their letters and numbers. Is that true, or is there more to dyslexia?
There's much more to dyslexia than flipping letters and numbers. Most people with dyslexia do flip letters and numbers, but there's also times that they don't. What we see with dyslexia is a host of issues that impact reading and writing. Challenges decoding words, challenges with reading fluency, meaning they read really slowly, challenges with spelling, and so on. All the basics of reading and writing. But there's also a whole host of other things that we see. For example, people with dyslexia are often slower processors. They often can have challenges with auditory processing of information, people talking to them. They also can have executive functioning weaknesses where they have trouble switching back and forth, trouble paying attention, especially to a lot of words. And they also almost often have something called dysgraphia, which is a visual motor deficit, which impacts their ability to put words on paper fluently. So what we see is a weakness profile that really impacts kids' ability to do well in school. Now, another thing that happens, though, as we're besides having a weakness profile, is there are a lot of dyslexics out there who don't get diagnosed because they're bright and they compensate. And Brock and Fernette Eide, developmental pediatricians up in Washington State, have wrote an amazing book called The Dyslexic Advantage. And in there, they talk about a term, stealth dyslexia. And stealth dyslexia is when you have a bright person who's doing well enough to compensate, so they score low average to average in school. And therefore, they never get picked up because they're being deemed to do what's expected for their grade level. But when you have a really bright child who is producing written work and is reading slowly and at an average pace, there's usually something going on. And a lot of these kids are really frustrated, are underperforming, are underachieving, and are not feeling smart. And these are the kids that we have to detect too.
At what age can you start seeing signs of dyslexia?
You can start seeing the signs of dyslexia in preschool. When you start seeing those signs, they just need to be monitored over time. And what the research has shown is that most 4-year-olds don't have phonological awareness. They can't sound out words. Of course, there's an exception with really bright, accelerated, advanced kids. That being said, the majority of kids often don't have phonological awareness at age 4. And a very small percentage of them have phonological awareness at age 5. What the research shows is that up to 70% of kids have phonological awareness by age 6, which is often first grade.
What type of testing will provide the most accurate diagnosis?
There's not a specific test that one gives to diagnose dyslexia. It usually is a compilation of tests that look at, does a child have phonological awareness? Can they break apart words into their component sounds? Can they rhyme? Are they able to read simple words? So again, we're talking about testing a child who at this point has already been taught to read. If we think that if they are young and they do not yet know how to read, you can go to a speech and language therapist and they can test their receptive and expressive language development to start to see if there is a dyslexic process. But other things that you can look at is, are they recognizing sight words? Are they replacing sight words with things that are similar? Like for home, they say house. They're just guessing a lot. Are they refusing to read? Are they misspelling words? Are they flipping their letters? So there's a lot of reading and writing tasks that you can give to see if a child is dyslexic. But you also want to make sure that you are assessing for whether they can hear sounds and make sounds. That is at the basis of a phonological processing problem.
Are there mild and more severe forms of dyslexia?
Yes. Like most things, there is a spectrum. You can be mildly dyslexic, you can be classically dyslexic, as it's often called, and you can be severely dyslexic. And depending on where you are on that spectrum will determine how well or not well you'll be able to get through school and be able to pick up basic reading abilities. The more dyslexic you are, the more intervention and accommodation you will need to be able to rewire the brain and rewire the neural pathways to learn the basic principles of language. And we need to remember that a dyslexic, for whatever reason, their brain does not have the basic decoding abilities of reading symbols as the brain of someone who is not dyslexic. So that has to be practiced and practiced and practiced with multisensory approaches.
And how does a family get help when they suspect their child is dyslexic?
The first thing to do is to go to your child's teacher and ask how their child is acquiring basic reading and writing skills. You want to know how they are acquiring them based on the standard compared to other kids their age, particularly if they're younger. But you also want to be looking at how are they acquiring those abilities based on your knowledge of your child. After going to your teacher, where you may or may not get the answers that you're looking for, you often have to go outside of the school to really detect the dyslexic process, because a lot of schools, while they're aware of reading issues, they are not always well-versed in dyslexia. And dyslexia is a specific learning issue that, again, is based on the phonemes. And what we're seeing more and more these days is that bright kids, or kids that can compensate, and kids that learn the rules of the game of worksheets, can basically fake it pretty well, and therefore a dyslexic process can go uncovered. So if you're really seeing a lot of inconsistencies or seeing some of the characteristics that I identified earlier, you really want to go to a professional, whether it's a speech and language therapist, an educational therapist, or a school psychologist, or other allied fields that specialize in dyslexia, to have someone test objectively whether your child has acquired the basic skills of language development for their age.
So once you get an accurate diagnosis, what do you do next?
You really want to start the intervention process as soon as possible, because early intervention is key for changing the neural pathways and opening up a pathway in school which is less challenging and more successful for the child.
Thank you, Dr. Peters, for this invaluable information. Dr. Peters and his staff at the Summit Center use a strength-based approach to find out what is right with your child, while also identifying and understanding your child's weaknesses and challenges. For more information about the diagnosis and treatment of dyslexia, please visit the Summit Center's website at www.summitcenter.us. To hear more interviews and stories like this, as well as information about issues affecting our children, please go to first5kids.org to subscribe to our Ask the Experts and Hot Topic podcasts. The site also contains local, state, and national information about children prenatal through age 5. Also, be sure to tune in to our in-depth family-focused podcasts. Again, the website is first5, that's the number 5, kids.org.